Now I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles, please. We're learning together on Sunday mornings from Philippians, and we're in chapter 2, and this morning I want to cover verse 12 with you to verse 18. Reading from verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and a depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad, and I rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Will you pray with me, friends, as we come together? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious message that you have given to us. And we pray now that as we learn together from the Word of God, that, Lord, you will speak very clearly to every one of our lives. We pray that from today would even begin a new work, enabling us to become more and more like Christ in how we live and in what we say. For Jesus' sake, amen. Friends, if you're visiting us, I always like to just clarify that on Sunday mornings we're going through Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's a wonderful, wonderful book where Paul is going through all different aspects of the Christian life. Now, last Sunday morning, you may remember, we focused on what is arguably the greatest Christological passage in the New Testament, where the Apostle Paul described the Lord Jesus for us. Let me refresh your memories just for a minute. He told us of all that Jesus was in eternity. He reminded us that Jesus is equal with God, that he is of the very nature God. And then we were told how Jesus humbled himself, gave up everything that he had, and came down to our world. He came as a servant, and he laid down his life for you and me. He shed his blood on the cross so that our sins might be forgiven and cleansed. And then on the third day, he rose again from the dead. The third thing that we were told last Sunday is how God responded. And I want to highlight that just for a minute, please. See verse 9. On the basis of all that Jesus was and is and all that he had done, see verse 9, therefore God. So what did God do? God came and exalted Jesus, gave him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. So we saw last Sunday how God responded to what Jesus Christ had done. Now this morning, brothers and sisters, look at verse 12. See again the word, therefore. So what we learn now from verse 12 to verse 18 is not what God has done, but what you and I ought to do. So how do we respond to what Christ did for us on the cross? And that is the theme of what I want to go through with you this morning. How do we react to this amazing example of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you want to put it another way, you could say it like this. For every real Christian, everyone who has been born again, there is in all our lives a great desire. There's a great longing. There's a deep, deep prayer that we will become more and more like Christ. That the beauty of Christ would be seen in our lives. But the question is, how? How do I become like Christ? How do I do it? What is required of me? How do I mature in my walk with Christ? That is what we are going to cover this morning. My dear friends, it's a tremendous passage. It really is a tremendous passage this morning. It's going to be impossible for you and me in any way to walk out of our doors and say, well, that's not for me. It's going to show us what God wants you and me to do. It's very important. So I hope this morning that it's clear and that it helps you and that it helps me to become more like Christ. So that's the title for our sermon this morning. How do we become more like Christ? And you will see there from the outline that you were given, and it will be now on the screen, there are three important aspects for you. Number one. All right? Now keep your eyes glued to the text, and I'm going to take you through that. Look at verse 12. Here's number one. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, here it is. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you all to will and to act according to His good purpose. So what's the first thing God wants you and me to do? To work. To work out our salvation. It's amazing. It's an amazing response that the Lord Jesus is urging upon you and I this morning. As we have gone through Philippians over these many weeks already, the emphasis has always been on God. God saved you. God convicted you of sin. God drew you. God enabled you to repent. God drew you to the cross. God saved you. God justified you. It's all of God. But this morning now, it strikes us strongly that we respond to that by working. Once you have been saved, we are called to work. To work hard, friends, at our spiritual lives. And I want you to notice in verse 12 and 13, five things about our work. Notice, first of all, we work as responsible Christians. See? He says, work out your own salvation. The responsibility of your soul is now committed to you. Responsibility for personal spiritual progress is, my friends, committed to you and to me. We can't say, I'm depending on my wife. We can't say, I'm depending on my husband or my parents or my children or my church or my minister. No. You see, it says, work out your own salvation. So once you have been saved, God is saying to us, now you must take this and you must work hard. You must work hard at this so that it will grow and develop and that slowly you will become more and more like Christ. You are responsible for your own soul. You see, brothers and sisters, that's an enormous challenge to us because we can work hard at our work. We can work hard in our homes. We can work hard in our studies. But you see, what this is saying is, work hard at your spiritual life. Work hard at your growth in Christ. You mustn't let it slip. You mustn't let it settle down to a mediocrity. No, he says, as a responsible person, work at it. What do I mean by that? Well, let's just say, as we all know in our lives, there may be areas of weakness. There may be even areas of sinfulness. I must work at that. I mustn't say, oh, well, I've got a weakness there, or I'm not so strong here, and use that as an excuse. We mustn't do that. No, says this Bible passage today, work at it. Work at it. Work hard at that. Get rid of those areas that are still not honoring to Jesus. It's the same with my Bible reading. My brothers, my sisters, you've got to work hard at it. You've got to work hard at that. Because there are lots of demands on your life and lots of demands on my life. Tremendous pressures on all of us. You see what the passage is saying? Work hard at it. Don't let it slip. Don't let it go. Work hard at it. Make sure you are reading and meditating and learning the Word of God. Don't neglect that. Don't neglect your prayer times. Don't let them slip. Don't fall into the trap of just a few moments quickly saying a prayer and then drifting off to work. Please remember, my friends, please remember, if you and I are not praying, it's either because we are dead spiritually or we are cold. Always one of the two, either cold or dead. But the barometer of how am I going is my prayer life. So what this passage is saying to us, work hard at it. Work hard. You are responsible. You are responsible for your soul. Work hard at it as a responsible person. Number two, he says, work at it in a consecrated manner. Work it out. And what that word really means is carry it out to the full and right to the end. Don't stop halfway. Don't become tired. Don't become weary. Don't give in. Alec Motier put it so beautifully when he wrote, in this battle of sanctification, in which foes of every description are to be encountered, in which the fight continues right to the end, it's a battle which calls for committed determination and consecrated perseverance. It's not easy, my dear friends, not easy. But it's the most precious thing you've got in the world. Hey, you've got nothing more precious than your soul. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? You can gain the whole world. You can win the lotto. You can build up a fantastic business. You can be successful in all of these things. But what about your soul? How's that going? How's that progressing, that spiritual side of your life? Paul is saying to us, work at it. You are responsible. Do it as a consecrated person. And number three, it strikes one, doesn't it? As accountable. He says, continue to work out your salvation with fear. Brothers and sisters, with fear. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You don't often hear that today. Don't often see that today. The sense of fear or trembling. What does it mean? If I can try and help you a bit, it means this. It means that we are gripped with a godly fear that grows out of a recognition of my own weakness and of the powers of temptation that are there around me, and of the great fear lest ever I should offend or grieve God. Oh, we don't want to do that. We don't want to offend God or grieve the Spirit. And so I work. And I work hard at my spiritual life. Fourthly, we work as confident people. Praise the Lord for this balance. See verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you to will and to act according to His purpose. And so you get that balance. We work hard. Why? Because God is working in us. Because God is working in us, we work hard. And so the Spirit is working. He's drawing us ever closer to the Lord. He's enabling us to at times be convicted of certain aspects in our lives. The Lord is working. The Lord never stops. He never gives up. He never ever brings it to a close. Where there is a real conversion, God is working and we respond. So God works, we work. And then we do this as obedient people. And so there's number one this morning. How do I become more like Christ? My dear brothers and sisters, never. Can I say that to you this morning in church here? Never, 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 never be satisfied with a very static, stagnated, monotonous Christian life. In a sense, we are always dissatisfied. And those hymns always bring it home for us. Oh, for a closer walk with God. That's what they used to pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Remember those hymns? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. How do I become like Christ? How do I grow? My friends, you've got to work. If you work, you're going to grow. If you work, you're going to mature. If you're lazy and you're undisciplined and you're too busy with other things, your soul will never mature. That's the truth. The harder you work, the better it gets. Is that all right? Amen. It's lovely to hear that you're still awake. Well, let's come to number two. What's the second thing that God wants to see? We saw last week what God did. This week we are having a look at what we do. Right now look at the next verse, verse 14. Now it touches on the aspect of your character. See? Look what it says now. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Suddenly there's silence in our church. See verse 15? So that, here's the goal. See friends, here's the goal. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and a depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. So what's the second thing God wants from you and me? He wants us to shine it out. Our characters, He wants us to shine. Now how do I do that? Well, look what He tells us. There are the three things there. The first thing is He tells us is that we are to do everything without complaining or arguing. Suddenly you're all looking at the carpet. But you see, take the little things in life, eh? Don't ever complain or ever grumble. That's number one. We are to do towards other people, no grumbling, and no complaining, never in the work that we do as Christians. You know, Mary and I've got a little rule in our lives. The one who cooks, the other one washes the dishes. So that's how we'll do it today. She cooks, and I wash without grumbling and without complaining, even when she cooks a roast. Yeah, I used to love roasts, but I don't like roasts now. Because every pot in that jolly kitchen gets used. And then somebody phones and she's on the phone, burns the rice. Oh, now I've got to wash these pots. And I think, do it without complaining and do it without arguing. That's a silly thing in life, isn't it? But when you're asked to do something, don't ever complain. And don't ever grumble. That's certain aspects of our lives that are to go out. Not only that without complaining, but it says we are to do it without arguing or without questioning. You see, that is a very big challenge. So the Christian character now is to be expressed in all our actions that we portray towards other people. But that's not all. We don't want to portray a Christian life in our actions only. It must be in our thoughts. So do it without complaining and without arguing. Actions, thoughts. And so before other people, shine as a Christian. Shine as a child of God. Shine as a man or a woman that God is working in. Do things without complaining or without arguing. Number two. The second way to shine in your character, see in the next verse 15, so that you may become blameless and pure. So that you may become blameless and pure. I want to read you two commentators on that. Just listen, if you will. John Stott says this. And so just as on the one hand, the Christian is not to give himself to carping criticism of other people, so by the way he lives, he must remove all causes of just criticism against himself. You want to so live, my friends. That's what it's saying. So live. That there is no criticism that people can level against you. That's the standard. Now, we're not saying you're going to be perfect. But what we are saying is you are working at your life. Putting off those things that are not right. Putting on what should be on. Working hard at your spiritual life. Spending time with God and spending time in His Word. So that slowly you're going to develop into a man or to a woman where people will not be able to level a just criticism against your life. Whoa. You see, Alec Motier put it like this. It is possible, however, that a life may be publicly above reproach, but inwardly be secretly vile. And that is very sadly true. But what we are learning here is this. You're going to be working at what you are on the outside is what you are in the inside. And thirdly, you are governed by this question. What does God think? So that you may be children of God without fault. How do I do this? Work and shine. Just lastly, number three, what's the third thing that the apostle tells us here? The third thing that we then do is we hold it out. See, verse 16, as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. So the third thing, my friends, that God wants us to do is to hold out the very words of life. And I'm sure you've picked it up, haven't you? It's just lovely to see how it all slots in together. The order. You see, it begins when you work at your own life. Second step, your character. You're developing and growing and maturing. And when those two things are in place, then what do? You then go out and you share the gospel, the very words of life, with those who are around us. It tells me there, first of all, that we do live in a very crooked and a very depraved generation. I don't need to tell you that. You just go and read your Sunday Tribune this morning and you will see exactly what we mean. You read the Mercury tomorrow morning and you will see that we are living in a generation that is crooked and a generation that is depraved. The things that are happening in our society today are absolutely horrendous. Things that are happening among people don't even occur among the animals. That's how bad it's got. And what does Jesus want you to do? Don't argue. Don't criticize. Don't run down people. Work at your own life. Shine as a child of God, inwardly and outwardly, so that people will not be able to level a just criticism against your life. And it's not easy, because we are living in a crooked generation. And secondly, hold it out, as he says there, like stars, like lights in the universe. Now you all know that better than I do. You go out on a beautiful evening and you'll see the stars just shining against the darkness. He says, that's what I want you to be. In your home, in your office, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your university, you go there and you be a light in a dark world. But it's not just by the way I live. There is a need that I have and that you have to share it, to talk, and to bring this word of life to our world. And that's what Jesus wants you to do. So in a sense here this morning, we learn the Bible. We walk out of our doors, we go into Pinetown, we go into all the different areas and we begin to gossip the gospel. We begin to talk about the word of life. We begin to share with people really the most important things in life. This is the challenge. To work it out. To shine it out. And to hold it out. So what's the encouragement that he gives us? The first encouragement there is that aspect of the sacrificial love of Jesus. Even if I were being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming for your faith. Our sacrifice, our living to which we are prompted by our faith, is this life of obedience and character building. A life to holiness and a life to witness. This is of great worth. It's our priestly service, our sacrifice offered to God that he will be pleased with. It says there we will be like an offering that is poured out. I don't want to be irreverent, but the only little illustration I could give you for that is this. You know, we all love brine and we enjoy it, but you cannot have a brine if you don't have nice marinade. You've got to have nice barbecue marinade. And that just finishes it off. Paul is saying, my life has been a sacrifice. The drink offering, the marinade is my death. But all my life, I've lived for Christ. My life has been poured out to Him in service. And thirdly, we are getting ready for when He comes again. Jesus is coming back. My dear friends, we've come here into this lovely building this morning and we've heard the word of God. I urge you, look after your soul. Be careful with your priorities. Don't work hard at lots of other things and neglect the most important. This passage has told me this morning, because of all that Christ has done for us, we respond. How? Work hard. Shine it out in a character where people will not be able to have a valid criticism, and then bring them the very word of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the challenge of the word that's come to my own heart and to many here this morning. And we know that the devil, Jesus told us with a parable of the sower, would want to come and just take away the seed and take it away. But we don't want that to happen this morning. We want to ask, Lord, that the seed sown here today may bear much fruit. We pray that we would be men and women who are now growing in grace and the knowledge of Christ. Please, by your Spirit, help us to work it out. Help us to shine for Christ and to talk and to share from the very word of life, so that one day when Christ comes back, we'll hear those marvelous words, well done. Well done. Oh, that's all I want to hear, Lord, that we've run the race well. Won't you part us now with your blessing, gracious Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.